And how to see Jesus at the point of the need that you have. If you didn't have a need, you wouldn't see Jesus. You wouldn't need to be knocking at the doors of heaven. You wouldn't need to be planning if you didn't have a need. Many people don't believe in miracles till they need one. You ever meet these people? I don't believe in miracles. Those spirit-filled churches always talking about miracles. I don't believe in miracles. That's for Old Testament. But as soon as you have a need, somebody, doctor tells you you're going to die, all of a sudden, you're looking for a miracle. You'll probably run into the first seat when the door is open. You'll take the front row. Many people don't believe in miracles and they need one. It's when you need a miracle that you start thinking about one. Amen. We know when things are going good, you're not worried about nothing. You got everything. You're not worried. I'm going to open up a passage. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Am I okay here? Yeah, Gospel of John, chapter 5, starting on verse 1. I'll probably go on to verse 12 or 13 if we get there. Maybe just 9. And we'll just. But I'm trying to go easy on you. I'm just trying to sow a seed of expectancy in you. Because church can get old real quick. When nothing's getting on, you can get discouraged about coming. You can get discouraged about giving. Amen? You know, when things don't go your way, you sometimes we just blame the church. Or we blame God, you know, and we don't realize that we're not putting his laws into action. You with me? All right. The Gospel of John. I'm going to read it from a Living Translation. It says, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish religious holidays. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate was Bethesda Pool, with 5 covered platforms or porches surrounding it. Crowds of sick folk, lame, blind, with paralyzed with limbs, lay on the platform waiting for a certain movement of the water. Amen. We need a movement of the waters in this church. Amen. We've been waiting a long time. We need a movement of the waters. And they were waiting for an angel of the Lord to come. From time to time, he would disturb the water. And the first person to step into the water after that was healed. I mean, crowds of cripples, all kinds of things, just waiting for the stirring and for the angel to come. I was going to one church and I used to say, why are we sitting here so long? Why don't they just get the service moving? And there was a prophet from, I forgot where it was, New Zealand. And he would sit up there in the pulpit, and I was there, and I was waiting and waiting. And he'd just sit there in the pulpit like this, his hands crossed, and wouldn't say a word. Half hour, 40 minutes, an hour. Then all of a sudden he'd get up, said, the angel of the Lord is here. Says things are going to start happening now. And you could feel the presence come into that church. And he wouldn't start operating till the healing angel came. And you would hear the people, and nobody said anything. Nobody said sing. Nobody said prophesy. But you could feel the Holy Ghost and the presence of God in the sanctuary. And many miracles were coming. Listen, that day is not old day. It's for today. Waiting for the stirring of the waters. Wouldn't you want to be the one, the first to get your need sitting right at the front, and as soon as it starts stirring, you jump in and get your need first? Hallelujah. I'd be there if I had a need. Are you with me? All right. One of the men lying there, verse 5, was sick for 38 years. Now, you know, sick, sometimes we complain we're sick for a week, sick for a month. Sick for a year, sick for 2 years. But let me tell you, brother, 38 years is a long time to be sick. Long time. When Jesus saw him, he knew how long he had been ill and asked him, Why didn't you get well? He said, I can't, the sick man said, for I have no one to help me into the pool at the movement of the waters. He said, and when I'm trying to get there, someone else gets ahead of me. Amen. And Jesus told him, stand up, roll up your sleeping bag or mat, and go home. Three action words. Stand up. In other words, do something. Don't sit there and just complain about something. Do something. And what did he say? Roll up your sleeping mat. Action. Because when you're sick and you can't do nothing, you're paralyzed, and you've been 38 years, you're coming to the same place, and you're not gotten the pool once when the miracle angel come, because when he leaves, that power is not there. You're not going to get it. Can you understand that? And go on home. Action. All of it is action. I've been to so many places where they give you cards on how to get people healed and all this kind of stuff and do this and do that. And all I've ever done is put my head on people, hands on them, and bang, the healing is there. I don't give them cards to read and this and that. Maybe it's good for them. Maybe they need it, but I don't need it. Because if I don't have the anointing, no matter what I give them, they're not going to get healed. If you don't have a healing anointing, they're not going to get healed. You're just kidding yourself. Or if you don't have faith that God's going to heal them. Now, if you got faith and your faith is there and you've done something about praying for their healing, something's going to happen. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up the mat and began walking. What did he do? He took action. He did what he was told. Why did he have to roll up his mat and take it with him? Because that was his comfort zone. Some of us, sometimes the leaders will say, well, get out of your seat. You don't want to get out. You're afraid if somebody in the back is looking at you. Are you with me? That was his son. He said, I'm sick. I just need to lay down. Jesus said, roll it up. You can't roll on a mat. You can't lay on a mat that's rolled up. And go home. You with me? But it was on the Sabbath, you know, that when this miracle was done. You know, there's always somebody coming around to pull the air out of your balloon when you get your miracle. Yeah. They're ready to bust your air out of your balloon when you're on a high, hallelujah, glory to God to come along. You sure? Did you check it out? Well, listen, if you were crawling and you were laying there and every year you came, you couldn't even get up and couldn't jump in the pool, and here you are walking home, I'm sure he was sure he was healed. Because you know how bad your muscles would have been set not using them for 38 years? Just like I seen somebody who was in a wheelchair for 7 years, and it was in Holland, and I was with this evangelist, Charles Endefon, and he had like 200,000 miracles a year happen in his ministry. And he asked me to come up and pray with him. There was a bunch of people. There was like 1,500 people. And a man, they rolled up in a wheelchair. And he told me, he leaned to me, he said, Frank, just tell him to put him aside. He wasn't saying no. He wasn't saying he wasn't going to pray. He said, just have him aside. Now I know why he did it, you know, but he put him aside because there were other needs that were getting met, and he could feel the anointing flowing, and he was flowing with the anointing and praying these people. But there toward the end, he said, now bring the man up with the wheelchair. And we stood there, and I stood there, and we were praying. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what to think. I've never seen anybody come out of a wheelchair when I'm standing in front of them. But if you ever see one, you'll never forget it. And we were there praying and praying and praying, and he started to get up, and all of a sudden, he jumped out of that wheelchair. And the evangelist told me, grab him, hold him. And I hold him. He was struggling, and he wanted his healing. He wasn't going to sit back down. I told him, maybe you ought to sit back down. No, 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 no. I want to get up. And he started walking, and I started guiding him around the church, you know, holding his hands. And he started step by step, going around. There were a lot of people in that church that night. Before you know it, we ran around that church seven times. He was wearing me out. 7 years in a wheelchair. 7 years in a wheelchair. Come out of it. Why? Faith. He came there to get healed, and he got what he came for. When you come into church, get what you're coming for. In other words, don't let God off the hook. If it doesn't happen this week, say, bless the Lord. I know you're going to do it next week. If it doesn't happen next week, I know you're going to do it. Have faith in God. Now, let's get back to somebody busting the balloon. It'll be a miracle. So the Jewish leaders objected. There's always somebody objecting to your miracle. What are you objecting? If they got a miracle, let them have it and enjoy it.
That's exactly right.
Well, I don't know. I know them a long time. I'm not sure, Brother Frank. I was thinking when I was preparing the sermon, I was in Delaware on the circuit for 3 months, and there I was in a Assembly of God church, and I was in there. There were about 200 people there, I think, that night. And there was one girl I called up on this side and the right side, and there was another guy on this side. I called him up, and they were standing in front of me. And I said, "You two, the Lord says, go ahead. You want to get married? Go ahead. It's God." And after I said, "What are you doing? You know, you don't know these people. They may hate each other, you know." Well, I had a good meeting. I left the meeting. It was Sunday. And they called Pastor Burke, and they said, "Is that Prophet Frank Cordero there?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, tell him he needs to come and see me." I knew right away that something was wrong. So I said, "Okay." And so Burke told me, he said, "What happened?" I said, "Nothing. I don't know anything happened." So I went over there to see him. He calls me in the office. He said, "You know, you're a false prophet." I said, "I am?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You prophesied over this girl and that guy in my church and told them to get married." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, let me hear the tape. You know, usually when I hear the tape, I can sense the anointing on it. And I know, I get the witness." So I heard the tape. And I said, "Yeah, heard the tape." I said, "That's right. That's the Lord." He said, "You're false. That's the Lord." 3 months later... 3 months. God sent both of them to the Bible school I was teaching in, Pinecrest. The girl's name was Joanne Annunziata, and she married somebody from Delaware. They both were divorced before. But you know something? You're living in the world. We try to judge people on standards that we were grown up with, but if they didn't have any standards and they had a divorce, you can't take out a gun and shoot them. You got to love them. What is it better to say? To say, stay divorced, stay single, stay miserable, but come to church. What kind of God is that? Don't get married again. You made a mess. Well, the second one may not be the mess. The second one may be the right one. I don't know. But, you know, if you're in the world, God's not going to judge you for that. Besides, God is a God who forgives you.
Amen.
He forgives you. Well, they got married. Matter of fact, they came to Pinecrest married. And they gave them a room under my room. They were on the second floor where the married couple stood. I was on the third floor. And they said they used to love to be under my room because they would hear me praying in the middle of the night. And they said they could feel the anointing coming through there. I felt like telling them, "Why don't you pray up the other way so I wouldn't have to get up so early?" You know, they say, "Oh, man, we love that anointing coming down. We felt so good." I was telling them, "Hey, that was at 2 or 3 in the morning. Why don't you get up and pray for me so I can get a good night's sleep?" They're still married. Amen. Look, I don't care what your life has been before you came to this church. God cares what you do since you've been in the church. If God forgives you, we have to forgive you. Not that we have to, we want to. Have to is being like a Sadducee, you know. Well, I'll do it because it says so, but I don't really love it, you know. You ever see people tell you, I forgive you. You do? That doesn't sound like that. Yeah, I'll see you. I'll see you next week. Okay. So it's the Jewish leaders, they're objecting. Amen. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath day. Right away, some legal, something happens good in the church. Somebody comes up with some legal nonsense that doesn't, it's not good. Or people are dancing in the spirit. People say, well, what are they doing? They're enjoying themselves in the house of the Lord. I'm not used to it. I wasn't used to it either. It took a girl bringing me out of my seat several times during the moving of the Spirit that I realized that God was in that. Amen? When you move your body, when you move your feet, you're saying that this morning. Problem is I didn't get too much sleep last night. I could barely get up. I want to save my energy for the sermon. Amen. And they said, don't you know that on the Sabbath, that's illegal? Illegal. Illegal to get somebody healed. Illegal. He said, not only that, you're working. You're carrying that sleeping mat with you. Somebody's always got something to say. But you know what I say? Get thou behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. If God's got a word for me and I got the word, and somebody comes and tells me, I'm not that. Hey, if you receive it, you got the faith to receive it, God bless you. Get your word, take your mat, and go home. Hallelujah. The man who healed him, the man who healed me, he told me he was, to his reply, he said to his reply, who said this thing to you? They demanded it, the Pharisees. The man didn't know that Jesus disappeared into the crowd. I know why he disappeared into the crowd. When you stand around and you have a miracle ministry and you start getting people healed and things start happening, you disappear after that because that anointing is rich on you. You need to get away from the crowd now because the crowd is going to wear you out with words and this and add more to what. Man, be thankful for the miracle you got. Thankful for what God gave you. Amen. But you're going to start picking at that anointing and picking at the anointing. After a while, you wear the person out. He wants to run home. And he's got two meetings. He may not come back for the second meeting. You don't know. The man didn't know, and Jesus disappeared into the crowd. But afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple, told him, now you are well. Don't sin and do what you did before. I like this one. Don't sin and do what you did before, or something even worse may happen to you. I don't know what could be any worse than being paralyzed for 38 years. I don't know what any worse than that. He said, but something worse can happen to you. This is Jesus telling him. You're right, Ronnie. You become a leopard. You're out. You have to live in the woods out here. We'll have to put cords up there where you can't come on the property. Are you there? Then the man went to find the Jewish leaders and told them it was Jesus who healed him. So they began harassing Jesus at the Sabbath breaker. Always got to find something wrong with Jesus. But Jesus replied, you know, I like Jesus' psychology because he says, my Father constantly does good, and I am following his example. Yes. Then the Jewish leaders were all eager to kill him because of the addition and disobeying of the Sabbath laws that he had spoken of God as his Father, thereby making him equal with God. Jesus replied. I like the answer he gave them. He didn't say, get out of here. You don't belong here. Get out of there. Jesus gave them a question. He replied. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing and in the same way. For the Father loves the Son and tells him everything he is doing, and the Son will do more awesome miracles than the man's healing. He will even raise people from the dead, anyone he wants to, just as the Father does. And the Father leaves all judgment and sin to the Son, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. But if you refuse to honor God's Son, whom sent you, then you certainly do not honor the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes when people are attacking you because of the word that you're giving or what you give, I've learned a long time ago that let the attacks come, but beware of those who give the attacks, because it'll come upon you, and you won't like what it comes upon you. But, you know, I call the Pharisees the butt crowd. Here come the buttsies. But it was on the Sabbath when the miracle was done. Not being thankful of the miracle, but it was on the Sabbath. The poor guy for 38 years is walking home in his bed and is mad. But because it was on the Sabbath, no good, doesn't count. Have you had those come around you? So the Jewish leaders objected after every miracle. There is someone adding, saying something about your miracle. You know what? When you get your miracle, people come objecting, say, I don't want to hear it. Satan comes through people, point accusation at you. And it's not them, it's Satan inside them to steal away the miracle that you have. You know, I used to go to a country church in one of the spiritual people I raised up in Bulgaria. And his church was packed every Sunday, a little farm church, small community. And there was a woman in that church that four or five times a week would come to the church. And it wasn't a church with heat, a little small church. And she'd bring cardboards to lay on, and she would fast and pray that miracles would happen in that church. And the pastor that I became good friends with in Bible school that we raised up there in Bulgaria in the early 90s, more miracles came out of that little country church. Nothing fancy. And if you got there, it was warm when you got in, but after a while the heater would go out because everything would stop burning. And they had to shut it down because they were closing the service. It'd freeze in there. And she'd come in there three or four times a week. And one time I tell him, man, you're a mighty man of God. All those miracles happened to you. And he was crying. He says, I want you to have lunch with somebody I want you to meet. I said, okay. So I had lunch and took them both out. We went to a nice, fancy place and treated them good. And he said, there's this old woman. She looked raggedy. It didn't look like somebody could go out and buy her some clothes or something. And he said, this woman is the reason I have the miracles. You're looking at me, but she's the one who fasts and pray 4 days a week at my church when there's no heat on. She has a key, goes in the back, and lays there and prays and prays and prays and prays. See, you don't get a miracle back to where I started unless you do something. You have to sow seed to get your miracle. He said, I get the credit. His name was George, Big George. We're still in good fellowship. He said, but she's the one who sowed the seed. Most pastors would say, well, you know, I did it. It was my ministry. He said, she sowed the seed. That's where that ministry came from. You know, if you think you have no gifting, to give to the church? You think you have nothing that you can do to help? You can start seeding in prayer. Everybody could pray. I'm glad that God gave everybody a prayer language. And start praying. Start sowing your seed for the church, for the leadership. Sowing your seed so people would be blessed and healed. And sow your seed. Ask God what to pray for if you don't know. Amen. Some of you have a lot of things on that calendar you can pray for. Pick one of them and start praying about it. And then mark your progress. Because some people pray and pray and they don't see nothing. They stop. And it's reasonable to stop. You know, I don't want to be praying all day for nothing. I want to see an answer. Amen. You know, I asked the Lord for an answer before I came to preach this morning. And I didn't get in. I wasn't a second in the church doors. And the very first scripture I was going to teach on was the scripture that was Elizabeth read that scripture. Now, what more of a witness do I need than that? I didn't discuss anything with her. I like when God does that because God is doing it. Amen. Let's stand. Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, to meet every need in this church. Lord, every need what the people need, Lord, for the vision of the church. That which you're desiring to do, Lord, that we pray we lift you up to do what you said you were going to do. And Lord, the promises that you've made for the house, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't drop the promises that were made. But Lord, pick up the promises and begin to run and begin to sow seed into the house. Lord, that it may blossom in many ways. So Father, I'm asking, Lord, for a miracle. Lord, a miracle to come and send an angel to stir the waters in this house. So we can see once again the moving of the Spirit of God in the house. People getting met, needs getting touched, people getting touched. Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you be with each and every one of us. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.